Would you pray with me? Father, we assemble here on this first Lord's Day of 2019. And Father, we want 2019 to be the best year that the Hendersonville Church of Christ has ever experienced. Not that, Father, we want to be better than those who have gone before us, but we want to be better because we're pointing people to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we want to do the best job we've ever done at doing that. Father, you are the great King, the King above all kings. You're the one and only God. And help us this year to shape our lives around you. We pray, Father, that not only this church, but each family and each individual member will be committed to being, Father, what you would have us to be. Help us to honor you. Help us to serve you. Help us to glorify you by our lives in this year. And so, Father, as we begin this journey together today, bless us. Bless us in a way that honors you, your Son Jesus, and that, Father, maximizes the power of your Spirit that works in our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, the elders here at Hendersonville sat down and drew up a mission statement. A mission statement that helps us to focus on what we as a church ought to be doing as the people of God in this community. And it's a beautiful mission statement. Notice it begins with our relationship with God, to love and glorify God. I don't know of anything that any of us could do that's greater than learning how to love God and to glorify Him in and through our lives. Then to promote spiritual growth in His family. We want to be serious about what it means for all of us to grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll be talking about that more here in just a few moments. And then notice to reflect Jesus by serving and teaching others. There is a job for us to do that is beyond these walls of this building. And we want to be serious about doing that. And so, this past summer, as we were reflecting on this mission statement, we wanted to come up with a little bit shorter theme that would encapsulate every bit of it and hopefully become something that you can share with your family, your friends, your co-workers, people that you meet, where you exercise. Just say, you know what? I attend a church and this is what this church is all about. How many of you remember this phrase? Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Do you remember it? Raise your hand if you remember it. If you don't, go YouTube it, okay? It was a simple phrase that forever made Alka-Seltzer a household name. And you still, to this day, I still see it on television. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Well, we wanted to get something that would be like that, that we could share with everybody we come in contact in our community. And so we prayed about it. We brainstormed. We worked with our elders. And we came up with the phrase, join the journey. And join the journey, all that is encapsulated in that comes out of that mission statement that you just saw. Now, why did we go with the concept of join the journey? And the reason for that is because of Jesus' own lifestyle. When Jesus came, whether you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, this particular text is out of John, Jesus invited people with these simple words, follow me. When he saw Peter and Andrew, James and John fishing on the Sea of Galilee, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. When he saw Matthew at the tax collector's booth, his words were, follow me. And he would carry on that concept of following him when you got over into John's gospel, the text that you heard read a few moments ago by Bill. a text that oftentimes is read at funerals, and yes, there is some comfort there in the fact that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. But what I want you to notice is that Jesus says, "You know where I'm going." And you see Thomas replying, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus' response was, "I am the way." And it's that phrase, "I am the way," that becomes kind of the name of the church in its opening years. In fact, you want to see something interesting, just go and get a concordance. You can look it up on your Bible app. But you go over to the book of Acts and notice that in the book of Acts, they refer to Christianity as the way. Paul, when he was put on trial, referred to it the exact same way. He says, "However, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way." And then he goes on and he says, which they call a sect, but it's not. It's the kingdom of God. And so we came up with this concept of join the journey. Let's become followers of the way. And so what we want to do in the future is simply use that as the lens by which we look at everything that we do in the Hendersonville community. Now, in doing that, there are several things we need to realize. First of all, at the very core of this join the journey is the story of Jesus Christ our Lord. I remember before I even started preaching here, Bob Abney called me up one day and says, "Anyway, we can catch breakfast." And I said, "Sure." And so I met with Bob over at Cracker Barrel here in Hendersonville. And we were eating and talking. And finally, Bob said, "I want to ask you a very simple question." And I said, "Okay, Bob, what is it?" And he says, "I want to know what the focus of your preaching is going to be. What is it that you want to communicate to this church?" And I said, "Bob, I'll tell you in one word. Jesus. I want us to be a church about Jesus." You see, I don't want us to be the Hendersonville Church of Christ. I don't want us to be the Hendersonville Church of Christ. I want us to be the Hendersonville Church of Christ. I want that to be the focus of this congregation. You see, Jesus said when it comes to reaching out into the world, the best way to reach out to the world is simply to lift Him up. You see, Jesus is the draw. We're not. Jesus is. And what we need to be as a church is a church that is absolutely centered on who Jesus Christ is, what He's done, where He sits, and the fact that He's coming back. Philip, when he was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading from the prophet Isaiah, the Bible says that he literally began at that very passage of Scripture. And guess what he preached to him? He preached to him Jesus. Because that's what everything is about. And I love what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "Listen, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And so the first thing I want us to realize is that everything we need to do at this church needs to be focused and centered on Jesus Christ our Lord. And let me tell you how you can know if you're focused on Jesus. When you're focused on Jesus, you're going the same direction. When you're focused on Jesus, you're becoming more and more in tune with one another. When I do premarital counseling, one of the things I try to tell prospective husbands and wives is that compatibility is so important. And we all bring different baggage to our relationships. And so I draw a picture of a triangle. And I talk about how that when you begin your marriage, you're separated. You're very different from one another. I remember the first week after mine and June's marriage, I came home, took a shower, went to get a towel, and the towels weren't right. I mean, June believed in trifolds. I'd never seen a trifold. I took the trifold to June. I said, "What's this?" She said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Why'd you fold the towels that way?" She said, "That's the way I always fold the towels." And I said, "That's not the way my mother folded the towels." And June's like, do you want to live with your mother or me? I learned to like trifold towels. I did. 40 years later, we fold them in a square now. It took a while, but I finally convinced her to come over, you know. I tell couples getting married that if both of you will keep your eyes on Jesus, as you move toward Jesus, guess what happens? You move toward one another. You see, the more like Jesus all of us become, the more we look like one another, like family should. And so we need to realize that we have got to focus on Jesus. You show me a church that's having problems, and I'll show you a church that's taking its eyes off of Jesus. I mean, it may be focused on some good things, but it's taking its eyes off Jesus. Folks, we have got to stay focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? I hope we'll do that. And then as we look further at this whole concept, what do you build that lifestyle of the church around Jesus Christ? How do you do that? And the first thing that we've got to emphasize is that we are the body of Christ. That's what the church is. And so when we invite people to join the journey, we're inviting them to join the body of Christ, to become a part of the body of Christ. And of course, we're going to start next week in Acts chapter 2 as we look at how people in the first century joined the body of Christ. For Paul, that was huge. I mean, in Romans, 1 Corinthians, other books, he will talk about the centrality of the church as the body of Christ. Here is coming out of Romans chapter 12. Paul has spent 11 chapters trying to say, here's the way you ought to think. And if you think this way, then here's the way you ought to live. And so chapters 12 to the end of the book of Romans is about how you practically put what you think into practice. And the very first thing he talks about is that we together are members of the body of Christ. And all of us, every single one of us, is important. We all have a function to fulfill. Notice, each one forms, all of us together form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. This weekend I was working there at the house. It was beautiful outside. June and I have three large crepe myrtles that are in our front yard. Unfortunately, the previous owner had planted them right under the power lines. And so every few years I have to get out there and I have to cut them back. Well, this was the cutback year. And so I was out there, and I'm up on top of my pickup truck with big old snippers trying to cut back this crepe myrtle. And I don't know what I did, but I somehow injured the fingernail on my thumb. I guess that's called a thumbnail, isn't it? On my right hand, that thumbnail started hurting. And I thought to myself, what in the world have I done? And I didn't realize a thumbnail could hurt that bad. And let me tell you what I didn't do. I didn't start cursing my thumb. How dare you bring me that much pain? I didn't threaten to go out in the garage and to get some wire pliers and just rip it off. That never entered into my mind. I realized that when my thumbnail hurt, guess what? My whole body hurt with it. And that's one of the things we've got to understand as the body of Christ. We come into the body of Christ, and y'all, we bring all of our baggage with us. We bring all of our hurts, all of our cares, all of our concerns. We're messed up people. And as messed up people, we come into the body of Christ in order to encourage and lift up and heal one another. Let me just tell you that if you're looking for a preacher that's not messed up, then you're going to have to go look somewhere else. You've got a messed up preacher. I'm a person that I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to forget things. I'm going to at times say things that I wished I hadn't have said. I mean, that's just part of being a minister of the gospel. You see, we all bring our baggage with us. But what we have to understand is that the church is a hospital. It's not a museum for perfect, you know, things. It is a hospital for imperfect people. And God invites us into that hospital, into that body, in order to encourage and support one another. If you find someone in this church that bothers you, that upsets you, that's not exactly the way you think they ought to be, wonderful. Welcome to the body of Christ. Because that's what the church is. It's people from all kinds of backgrounds, with all kinds of baggage, coming together to give one commitment to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And to unite us, I love what Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. I love what God does to us in baptism. You know, baptism, a lot of people say, well, you know, baptism is this symbolic act that you do that kind of symbolizes your relationship with God. Can I tell you that baptism is far more than symbolism? I mean, is it symbolic? Yes, it's symbolic. We'll be looking at some of that symbolism here in a few weeks. But baptism is an act that when I participate in it, I enter into relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father wants me to be baptized because it does portray the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. But it doesn't just portray it. It invites me in to experience it with Him. And so the Father asks me to be immersed so that I can share in what Jesus did for me. But in that act, Jesus enters into it. And Jesus enters in with this remarkable sacrifice of His own precious blood. And it's that blood that He applies to us to wash away our sins. There's no power in the water. The power is in the one who asks us to step down in the water. It's in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then guess what? God then sends His Spirit. And His Spirit comes. And as Paul says, we drink of it together. We're immersed in it together. Because He comes and He takes up residence in our hearts together. Why? So that we can be a part of the same family. Notice the language in Ephesians. God's placed all things under His feet, pointing to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is our head, and we're trying to be His body, His hands, His feet, His eyes, His mouth, His presence in the world. Flawed as we are, He invites us into His service. When we come up out of the water, it's not the end of the story. It's the beginning of the story. It's the end of the old man, yes. But it's the beginning of a new man. I mean, Jesus would describe it as a new birth. The gospel writers would describe it as infants that are being born into the family of God. And we began this incredible process of being transformed then into the image of Jesus. We come in broken, but then as we join the journey is into Christ-likeness. My favorite verse in all the Bible, one of them is here, Genesis chapter 1, 26. And if you've never highlighted this verse, if you've never underlined this verse, you need to do it. Because it's one of the most powerful verses in all the Bible. You know, John, when he got up this morning, he said, "Would you pray with me?" And he began to remind us of who we are. Well, that comes out of Genesis 1:26 as the Godhead comes together. Notice the language there. Then God said, "Let us," there with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, beginning that creative process of making you and making me. And notice when he says, "Let us make mankind," he says, "Let us do it in our image, in our likeness." We were created to reflect God in the world. Now, are we messed up? Wow. Sin did a number on Adam and Eve. Sin does a number on us. Not only are we messed up, but all of creation. Paul would say in Romans chapter 8 that all of creation groans. Why? Because it's been subjected to a bondage, a slavery of decay. And it longs, creation longs to be set free when we're going to be set free. And so when we become part of the body of Christ, we begin this journey into Christ's likeness. And so my favorite verse is this one in Romans that plays off of that Genesis 1 text of where he says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." What is it that God wants? He wants every one of us to be reflections of Jesus Christ. I remember the first time I looked in a mirror and I saw my dad looking back at me. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. There's a lot of commercials on TV about you becoming your parents. I don't know if you've seen some of those. They're pretty funny. But when I looked in the mirror and saw my dad, it scared me. I mean, I looked and I'm like, wow, I never noticed how much I looked like my father. You know, when we look in the mirror, that's what God wants us to see, is the image of His Son. And I know that's hard for us sometimes to imagine, that we could look like Jesus Christ. But can I tell you, it's the greatest honor that we could give Jesus. To go back to the text that we just looked like, Jesus wants to be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. You see, if you've ever met my brother and sister, one of the things you'll notice about them right off the bat is while we look quite different, my family was odd. There was four of us. My older brother had brown hair. I've got black hair. My younger brother had red hair. And then my sister had almost blonde hair and brownish blonde. And you're like, you sure y'all are brothers and sisters? Yeah, we are. You know, I mean, yes, we are quite different. But all you got to do is spend a few minutes with me and my brother together, and you're like, oh, y'all are brothers. Because we talk alike, we use the same phrases, we use the same mannerisms. My boys used to laugh at me when we would go back to Mississippi. They used to say that as soon as I crossed the Mississippi state line, I transformed. And I did. I mean, I started talking differently. I started using phrases that they had never heard. They're like, Dad, what happens to you? You know, what happens to you when you cross that state line? And you know what? I couldn't control it. I could not control it. It was amazing. Well, that's what happens when you're a part of a family. You share. And you know what? God invites us to share in His likeness through Jesus Christ. And can I tell you what an honor it is to be a part of this church with you? Not in our brokenness, but in God's restoration of us into the likeness of His Son. Because I see Jesus Christ in so many of you, in the way we care for the poor, and the fact that we've got Towers over here that reaches out and tries to help people in our community. The fact that every Sunday night during the winter over here in our gym are men and women who don't have a place to sleep or food to eat, and we invite them in to our church. When I see the way we use our facilities to reach out in this community and to make a difference, from the way we carry food to our schools so that if children don't have food to take home, they'll have something to take home. I mean, One of the great joys I have is to be in here and to see everything that this church is doing. And I'm just constantly going, wow. And yet God calls us to even more. And that leads us to our third point, and that is His work. I mean, as we become more and more like Christ, just as Jesus said to the apostles, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. He's sending us into this community. And we want to make a difference in this community. We want people to know what join the journey means. And we want to make a difference in the lives of everybody that we touch. I love this picture. This is from the movie, The Gospel of Matthew. It was filmed probably some 25 years ago now. The actor you see up here is a man by the name of Bruce Marciano. Bruce was a struggling actor in Hollywood, and and someone approached him. He was a believer in Jesus. He went to church, but as far as saying he was just a devout follower, he probably wasn't at that moment. But they invited him to play the role of Jesus in a movie based on the book of Matthew. In fact, this whole video is based on the Gospel of Matthew, word for word, out of the NIV. And so Bruce Marciano accepted the role. He got on an airplane to fly to South Africa, where most of the movie would be filmed, there in South Africa and then up in Northern Africa. As he was getting ready to leave, he saw a book. And it was a book entitled Jesus, Man of Joy. So he grabbed the book, hoping it would give him some insight. And what the basic point of the book was is that Jesus invites us into this splendid journey, a journey of joy. He said so many of the movies about Jesus he had ever watched were movies where Jesus was real somber, he was sad, he was melancholy, you know, he was very reverent. And then here was a book he was reading about a Jesus that was very different from that. A Jesus of adventure. A Jesus that says, listen, I'm going somewhere and I want you to go with me. And so Marciano said that what he decided to do was to do a movie about Jesus where Jesus actually smiled, where he laughed, where he looked at life with great joy and said, listen, there's an adventure and I'm inviting you into that adventure. And my favorite scene is the very last one. He stands, he blesses the apostles, he sends them out into the world, he tells them to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've taught you. And he says, and surely I'll be with you to the very end of the age. And then as the movie begins to end, it shows Bruce playing Jesus walking toward the Sea of Galilee. You see it there in the background. And as he's walking toward the Sea of Galilee, he stops. And he turns back and he motions for people to follow him, to join the journey with him. And I just love that scene. Sometimes I just go back and watch it over and over again, because he got it right. We serve a Savior who looks at every one of us, and with a smile on his face, he says, come join me. Join me on this journey. And I don't know where you are as you begin 2019. I don't know if you've been on a journey with Jesus in the past and it's not going the way you thought it would go, and you've kind of slouched off and decided, you know, maybe this journey's not for me. Perhaps you're here today and you've never even started the journey. You're not sure that Jesus is the person you want to follow. Can I urge you that the answer to that question is yes, yes, yes. He's the person you want to follow. And what better time to begin that journey with him? To come and say, you know what? I want to experience that act called baptism. I want to engage the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in that. And I want to walk this journey with Jesus. We want to invite you to do that. To join the journey here at Hendersonville. And if you need to do that, do it right now as together we stand and sing.